This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. You know, listener, we've got a problem, you and I. We do a lot of sitting. We sit at our computers, we sit in our cars, we sit in church, we tend to walk only enough to get us to another place where we can sit down again. Well, I'm all for being comfortable, but all that sitting, can it really be good for us? What we need is a competent, experienced physical therapist to set the record straight. Well, we just happen to have one on our show today. I bet you knew that was coming. Dr. Christopher Stewart is the program director of the Physical Therapist Assistant Program at Southern Adventist University near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chris, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today.
Okay, now to sit or not sit, that is the question. Are we doing ourselves any harm by spending so much time slumped over computer screens, earning our big bucks at our desks at work, or trucking down the highway? What's your take on this?
Well, my take on it is you are definitely doing yourself a disservice by doing so much sitting. Everybody knows you have to do a little bit of sitting, of course, in order to be able to rest. But whenever you do anything to an extreme, there's always adverse effects from that.
You know, I look at the human anatomy. Is sitting even natural? Were we designed to sit down anytime?
No. I mean, we were primarily made to stand. If you think back to our ancestors prior to us, they walked pretty much everywhere they went. Yes. Most of the time was either spent standing or they were actually sitting down on the ground, which is more in a squat position, not in the sit position that we typically adopt today.
Okay. All right. So we didn't want to squat, so we sat instead. If we were designed to sit on the ground and sort of in a squat or stand, when did we start sitting and why? Do you have any idea? I know you weren't there, but what do you see in history that says it's time for us now to sit up off the ground on a chair?
Well, I mean, I don't have any firsthand knowledge in this, but my thought would be as life became more convenient, we then proceeded to spend a lot more time in a sitting position versus standing, especially like when cars came about. We didn't have to walk anywhere anymore. When manual labor jobs went down and it became more of a technology-driven workforce, we did not have to stand to do our job as much anymore. So it was a slow evolution probably in that direction.
You are a physical therapist and you teach a physical therapy assistant program there at Southern Adventist University. What are we doing other than sitting that may not be to our best interest? I'm sure that you could not make a career out of people who sit too much. What else are we doing that is damaging us?
Well, I mean, there are other things. Typically, the back problems with people's backs come from repeated movements or repeated postures. So if you think about what you do throughout the given day, it could be your occupation. It could be how you lift your child at home from the floor. If it's something you're doing in a repeated fashion and you're doing it incorrectly, it will therein lead to, you know, having issues with your back, your knees. It can lead to having headaches, those type of issues.
If we find ourselves with those aches and those headaches, how do we identify which of our repeated actions is causing it, or is it cumulative and they all may be causing it?
Well, it could be cumulative, but what you would need to do is you need to take an inventory of what your typical activities are during the day and try to figure out what do you do the most of. Now, if I'm a mechanic, an auto mechanic, and I'm leaning over in a car, that's going to be a given. If I work in an office and I'm sitting at a desk, it's going to be a given. But if you are a parent at home and you have, you know, small children you're taking care of, or just looking at your daily activities, you're going to try to look and see if there's a pattern to your movement.
Well, all right. I'm thinking about myself here as we're talking, and I am sitting in my chair at my computer screen, and that's exactly what I do a lot during the day. So if I begin to have back problems, I may say, okay, it's because I sit at my computer screen looking at my computer all day long, talking to wonderful people like you. I have to sit down here. What am I supposed to do if I have to sit like this and I can't stand and I can't walk around? What do I do?
That's a great question, Charles. So what you want to do is you want to try sitting is what we call a necessary evil.
Right,
I mean, it's something
right.
we typically have to do. So what you want to do is there are several things you can do. You can take and break up your day. If you take it in periods of time, some researchers say 45 to 50 minutes. Other researchers say about 90 minutes. But as long as you're breaking up your day and trying to add other activities, take a walk around your office a couple laps, come back and sit down to get you out of that static position for all that time. A quick fix you could do for the sitting that you're having to do is just scoot yourself forward to the edge of your chair. Do not lean back into the chair. Scoot forward to the edge of the chair. As soon as you scoot forward to the edge of the chair, you will find that natural curve in your low back start to develop. And as that develops, then your head tends to assume a more upright posture over your shoulders, therein improving your posture.
Well, you've just told me to squat then, basically. We've gotten out of the chair and we've sort of gotten to a squat position then, right?
That's exactly correct. I'm taking you back to a more natural pattern or natural position that the body's used to, the way God created it to perform.
What exactly, Chris Stewart, is happening to my back when I am sitting here at my computer and my audio room, and I am leaning back against my chair? What is it? It feels comfortable. I'm fine. It's not hurting as long as I'm sitting here. What exactly is happening in me that may not be for my best interest if I just stay here hour after hour?
All right. There are several things that can be taking place at this point. One thing is you're sitting on certain muscles that are required to propel you through your daily activities.
Right.
So as we spend time sitting down, the muscles in our buttock region and everything that actually help us stand become disengaged. Okay, that's one thing. So then when you do stand, you do not have the strength in your hips to help support you there in making you tired, making you want to sit back down.
Okay.
Another thing is just the static position of the spine itself. When I'm leaned back in my chair, I do not have that natural forward curve in my back anymore. That tends to flatten out, and then some people actually go away in reverse. What that does is it puts a lot of stress on the discs. I'm sure your listeners have heard lots about the disc in the back.
Yes.
There, and that puts a lot of pressure on certain sides of the disc that over time, if it's repeated continuously, can cause part of your disc to become weak and part of your disc becomes thick and stiff.
Wow. Does my weight make any difference if I'm a slender person as opposed to a person with a lot of more weight on it? Does weight make any difference as far as sitting is concerned?
Not necessarily as far as sitting is concerned. I mean, once you get to standing, it can have a little bit of impact, but not as much as a lot of people think. Because a fact that some of your listeners may not know is if you take and you take your belt off and you lay it on the ground and you put a dot in the center of that belt, that is where your spine is. So if I'm assessing you or evaluating you, I can access your spinal column from the front just as easily as from the back. You're just feeling the bony bumps in the back. So your spine is fairly well centered in the body, therein allowing you to balance the weight around you. Now, if you do get a lot of weight in the front, it can actually increase the curve of the low back, therein giving you a reverse problem that you get when you're sitting. But weight doesn't typically come into play a lot when you're actually sitting.
You know, as long as we're talking about bones here, what is your take on chiropractors? Are they somebody we should be seeing on a regular basis? Do they do us good? What's your take on that?
Well, chiropractic medicine is kind of a close association with physical therapy in that a lot of chiropractors and physical therapists are now starting to actually work together. Chiropractic has an area of specialty in that they can help relieve restrictions in the joints and the movements of the spine, where the physical therapist actually works on the motor control and the maintenance of posture that go hand in hand. So I would say it would not be a detriment to you to actually see a chiropractor on a somewhat routine basis to make sure you are moving properly, but then you do need to see a physical therapist to make sure you're maintaining the core strength and movement to help keep that freedom of movement that the chiropractor gives you.
So seeing a physical therapist when you're not sick, when you're not ordered by a doctor to see one, just go see one on a regular basis, is that what I hear you saying?
That is what you're hearing me say, because the push and the move here in the United States is pretty much every state now has what's referred to as direct access, meaning you can walk off the street and you can see a physical therapist for any type of ailment or just for a movement screen. There are lots of movement screens, functional movement systems, other Y balance tests, these other tests that people use to assess the efficiency of your movement. Again, as I said back way earlier in the interview, a lot of the damage that occurs to us is through repeated movement. If that movement is done inefficiently, therein lies the problem that tends to cause pain and dysfunction.
All right, very good. We're talking with Dr. Christopher Stewart. He is the program director of the Physical Therapist Assistant Program at Southern Adventist University near Chattanooga, Tennessee, my alma mater, I am so proud to say. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, more with Chris Stewart on the idea that we need to move differently, and more specifically, we need to move. And we'll talk more about that on our return, so stay right where you are.
I'm Dr. James Markham with your biblical prescription for life. Would you like a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure other than medications? Well, our biblical prescription for today comes from Psalm 63, verses 3. This text states, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Well, studies have shown that kindness can lengthen your life and actually lower your blood pressure by increasing vagal tone, the parasympathetic nervous system, chemicals like oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, and all of these might contribute to lowering the blood pressure. Not only does it lower blood pressure, but kindness can help your blood sugar and improve your immune system. So, if you want a strategy to help you lower your blood pressure, how about participating in a random act of kindness today? To learn more, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Before we get back to our guest, I want to extend to you an open invitation to visit the Heartwise Ministries website. Why? Because I believe that's where you'll find many of the answers you seek as you strive to improve your physical, mental, and spiritual health. Begin with Dr. James Markham's blog, insights into the very latest developments within the ever-changing world of health and well-being. Then submit a question to the Ask the Doctor section. Your query will be answered by physicians who practice medicine every day. Need a little more information? Watch the Heart of Health Live television episodes or listen to these radio programs. Check out the HeartWise Healthy Eats link, where you'll find restaurants that offer healthy choices. And finally, don't forget to leave your prayer requests. The HeartWise staff will join you in placing your needs before God, the ultimate physician. All that and more are waiting for you at heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org. Stop by today. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Christopher Stewart. He is the program director of the Physical Therapist Assistant Program at Southern Adventist University near Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're talking about how we need to learn some things about our bodies and learn how to move them and rest them differently than what we thought. Because, Chris, how big a problem is this? If you could look at the entire population of, let's say, just the United States as a whole, what percentage of us are doing it wrong? Huh? What percentage? What are we talking about?
If you're talking percentages, I would be willing to put the percentage fairly high. Yeah. I mean, most of us, yeah, I would say at least 80 to 85% of individuals are actually moving incorrectly.
Oh my goodness. Okay, all right. Well, let's talk about moving then. And before we get into that, I want to ask a specific question, a personal question here. I, like a lot of people in my audience, are moving along in age. We are heading toward those sunset years. Is there anything that an older listener needs to do to maintain good health in our physical body that maybe a young person doesn't have to do? Anything we need to be doing?
Well, as an individual ages, what happens is you have certain tissues in your body, elastin and collagen, that actually allow for recovery of stress and movement on the body. Mm-hmm. Now, as we age, the elastin and collagen tend to decrease and our bodies become stiffer. So therein, it's very important for an individual to initially take a postural assessment of themselves. And a good way to do that is I recommend that individuals just go to the dollar store and buy just a cheap pool noodle. Yeah. You can lay that pool noodle on the floor, and then you actually lie down on it with it running from the top of your head down towards your tailbone. Mm-hmm. And you try to feel how and what actually touches the pool noodle. Okay. So you want your sacrum down below your waist to be touching. Of course, you want between your shoulder blades to touch, and you want the back of your head to touch. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens as people age, those curves that we have in the natural spine, as gravity takes its toll on us over the years, those curves become accentuated in that when you lie on that pool noodle, you're going to find it much more difficult to actually have your head touch without your chin sticking straight up in the air.
Okay.
So this is a practice that would be important to be doing at least once a week as you're moving through. I know we talk about walking and moving, but we also need to be putting ourselves in a proper postural position so our brain does not forget what that position is like.
So when we're laying on that noodle, our chin should be just, it's like we're standing up. Is that the idea?
That is correct.
Okay.
And a lot of individuals, when you find when they're lying down, their chin is going to be stuck up in the air because your upper back has gotten very, very stiff. Okay. The same technique can be done against a wall, say in your home or in your office. You can actually stand up against the wall, have your head touch, your shoulder blades touch, and your sacrum touch, and work on pulling your belly in. See if you can get yourself stacked like a stack of blocks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a very good analogy to use. Your body's like a stack of blocks. If you think of a child, if they slide one of those blocks forward, the tower will fall over unless another block slides in the other direction. So when we have these accentuating curves, as our body shifts forward or back, muscles or other structures have to compensate, therein leading to a lot of overuse injury.
So when we're standing against the wall, we should be looking for what? How should we be touching that wall?
You should actually feel the back of your head touching, looking straight ahead at eye level.
Okay.
Again, your chin does not want to be sticking out. You want to keep it tucked in. Head touching, right between your shoulder blades touching. If you pull your belly in, imagine pulling your belly button into your spine, trying to flatten out that curve, and then your sacrum should touch. You should feel the bulk of your back actually touching the wall, except for in the curve of your neck and in the curve of your low back.
All right. I know what I and a bunch of listeners will be doing when this program is over. We're heading for the wall to find out how we're doing. Now, let's go from the old to the young. Are you seeing young children running around, jumping up and down and having a good time? Are they doing anything, or are we doing anything to them that might be harming them in the future as far as their posture is concerned?
Oh, yes. When we talk about technology, and I know everyone talks about having a device in their hand, and that's the main mode of communication.
Yes.
I know you've probably been walking through neighborhoods or through town and seeing individuals with their head down in front of them looking at their device, even as they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
Our body, again, becomes to where it adapts, whatever position we spend the most time in. And if we have that head forward position, just sitting in your chair right now, if you scoot to the front and you look down at the floor, you feel your low back tend to just flatten out.
Right.
So there again, as we increase that curve in your low back, your head tends to go back over your shoulders. It's all a balance mechanism. So as you have these young individuals, they're sitting on their couch in a slumped position, working on their devices, or even as they're walking throughout their daily life, they're in that forward head posture. This is going to lead to a lot of headaches. It can lead to actually respiratory issues, additional pain because you're compressing the lungs, so you're not getting good oxygen transfer and those type of issues.
Dr. Christopher Stewart, he is the program director of the Physical Therapist Assistant Program at Southern Adventist University, is our guest today. Chris, what is the number one best exercise that we can do to help assure that our bodies are overcoming the damage we may have done or overcoming the repetitive action that we may have taken part of during that day? What can we do each evening, for instance, to try to overcome what we did that day?
Well, there's a series of movements you can actually go through. You want to kind of assess yourself at the end of the day. And you need to kind of look at that at a segment by segment basis. Mm-hmm. Now, your lumbar spine or your low back, that would be around your waist level. The primary function of it is to bend forward and to bend backwards. Mm-hmm. Now, if you move up between your shoulder blades, the primary function of that area is to rotate side to side. Right. And then as you get to your neck, you have a lot of mobility in all different directions. So what I encourage individuals to do is take a self-assessment of where do I feel stiff? Go through these movements, bend forward, bend back. When we're sitting in a chair a lot, the front of our hips get really tight. So when we stand up, the lumbar spine curve becomes greater. So when you're at home, again, I encourage people to get on the pool noodle, lay down, be in a gravity-eliminated position, assume that postural position, the proper postural position. The other thing then you want to do is you want to roll on one side, and you want to roll your shoulders in the other direction. So if I'm laying on my left side, I'm going to roll my shoulders to the right and try to put my shoulders flat on the floor, and then repeat that on the other side.
Even as your hip is still on the side?
That's correct.
Okay.
Even if you're lying on your side with your hips and knees at about 90 degrees, and that way you just kind of roll back onto your back to make sure you're getting good movement up between the shoulder blades as well.
How about these little belts you can wear? Contractors use them. They wear them around their waist, sort of give strength to their waist. Does that work all right? Are those things good?
Those have limited benefit in that if you're going to lift something extremely heavy, what they do is they act as a cueing mechanism for you to actually pull in your belly and to actually lift with your legs.
Okay.
They are not something that we typically advocate for the average population in that what it does is it actually disengages the core abdominal muscles because your brain gets to relying on the support of the brace.
Okay. All right. In the last couple of minutes we have of the program here, let's talk about you. How did you arrive at where you are? When did you start becoming interested in physical therapy?
Well, I became a physical therapist assistant, believe it or not, back in 1999. I graduated from a community college in Mobile, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And as I worked in that field for about 4 or 5 years, I had the urge or the motivation to go back to PT school and graduated with my Doctor of Physical Therapy degree from the University of South Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I had the wonderful privilege of being able to teach at my alma mater down there at the University of South Alabama, which led me into realizing I had this desire to teach. Mm-hmm. I have 4 children. As they continue to progress through the years, I have 2 that have moved on to Southern up here to college.
Mm-hmm.
So then my wife and I kind of got to thinking, well, our younger 2 may need to move into the area. So
That's
we moved
right.
up this way, and therein God landed me into this position, allowing me to teach other young students about the benefits and the effectiveness of physical therapy.
Well, that is fantastic. And I saw on your Facebook page you've been there for a year, and you're enjoying yourself there at Southern?
That is correct.
All
we
right.
are enjoying ourselves immensely.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Stewart, for being with us today and sharing this information. I know a lot of people, including myself, will be going and doing some of the things you talked about on this program today, and we appreciate you sharing with us, and I know that the students there at Southern Navis University will be benefited from your instruction and as well as your presence. That sounds like a win-win for everybody. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Stewart.
Thank you, Charles, for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Christopher Stewart, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.